The title of my message is What's in a Name? And about 2 months ago, while driving to church, the Lord gave me the title. He does this to me. That's all he gives me is the title. Then he says, you figure it out. So, and that's good. That's good, because then I have to pray a lot about what is it that you would have me to say and in what order. So I want to share with you today's text. We're going to start with Isaiah 43:1. And it reads, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Oh, Lord, I would pray that we feel that from you, Lord, that we feel that we are yours, Lord. We feel your love, your grace, your mercy, Lord God. And I pray now, Lord, that as we open your word and as we share it, dear God, that we will be enlightened as to what it is that you really have in store for us. In your mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Good morning, church. So God knows your name. You can figure that out from the scripture that we read. And names are important. Couples really spend a lot of time figuring out what they're going to name their children. Maybe they'll name them after somebody that's important in the family. Maybe they know what a name means. And so they pick a name. And names mean a lot. And we're going to find this throughout scripture today as we read God's word. That names meant a lot in the Bible. God changed names for people, and names are what we are identified by. Now, most people have a first and a middle and a last name, but I don't. And some of you know that. I'm the fifth generation of a firstborn son of a firstborn son, and they're all Nick Jackson. So, you know, some were in a different language, but that's what it meant. But they did me a favor, and they tacked Junior on my name, and so that helped identify me from my father, which my dad demanded that I do that, because some things that I did weren't quite right, and then he wanted to make sure that the people at work didn't think that it was him. Okay, all right. Now, Jill and I, when Eric came along, we broke it, okay, and my aunts went livid, and because there's going to be another Nick Jackson. And I said, there will not be another Nick Jackson. And so we came up with Eric and even gave him a middle name. And that's important. Names are important. I did a little bit of research. Actually, I did quite a bit of research. And I found out names in the Bible for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And I only hope I counted them right, because, wow, it was a long time looking at the screen there. Okay, these are the names and titles of God. Okay, I'm not going to list them, I'm just going to tell you how many. 22, okay. The names and titles of Jesus, 101. And the names and titles of the Holy Spirit, 33. So there are a lot of names, and those names mean something. And if you look it up, you will see what they mean. But I just held out a couple for each of those that we can identify with here this morning. And for God, I chose Creator Father. Okay, I can identify God that way. For Jesus, I chose Savior Healer. And for the Holy Spirit, I chose Comforter and Guide. And that's just a few of their names that they were given. But another thing that we have to identify with is that, do you know that God knew you before you were even born? Okay, we're going to read it. Then it won't be my opinion. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. All right? That means God knew all of us before we were even born, okay? I even think that God knew what name we were going to get, even though our parents didn't know what name we were going to land on, because Jill and I had this huge, you ever do that? You get a list, and then you work it out, and then the only name that one of our daughters was not real pleased with was Ginger, and I liked it. And you know how I got it? Gilligan's Island. But now she's okay though. Now she's had therapy, and she is fine now. But I looked up my name. As long as I was on the computer, I looked up my name, and I found it in dozens of languages. Dozens of languages, Nick or derivatives of Nick, okay? And here's what it meant. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just going to give you the facts here. It means victory. Even in the ancient Greek, it meant victory. And I thought, I'll bet you my mom and dad didn't know that. They were just passing on the name from one generation to another. So then I thought, well, how many languages are there? I got carried away. How many languages are there in the world today? So I went into a linguistic society and I looked. I was shocked. Listen to this. There are 7,097 languages spoken currently in the world. I thought, wow, okay, gets better. 23 of them represent more than half the population on earth. So you can see there's a lot of ones that just, you know, out there on their own and that, all right? However, God knows every one of those 7,097 languages, just like he knows every one of our names. So this morning I thought, well, how many people are on the earth right now? So I got on the computer, 6,783,000,000 is the last census that they took, okay? Now, you think computers are good. God knows every one of those people. He knows every one of them. So then I thought, well, since God knows all those names and God made all the stars, how many stars are there? You know, you can see I get carried away. So over 400 billion stars in the Milky Way, and then there's other galaxies. You know this story. And there's other galaxies. Now, if God can name the stars, and God can know all the names of our people, we're in pretty good hands, are we not? In fact, in the Bible, God changed names. And I'm not going to give you all of them, but I'll give you a couple, okay? But I was thinking about this, and I thought, wait a minute. When I was younger, I knew 2.5 languages. I knew English, because my family spoke English. I was a whiz at Spanish in high school and the first year of college. Then I had to change to Latin for medical school. But, you know, so I knew 2. And then I thought, wait a minute, I even knew some Serbian. And then I said, no, you better cross that out because you learn the good words and the bad words when you hung around your family. So many people can speak different languages. And the thing is, God knows them. I was watching Jill and Renee's videos from India, and you know, they're not speaking English. When she's praying for them in English, an interpreter is praying for it in their language, God's got it. He knows. He can translate all that without any problem at all. But here's a few names that God changed in the Old Testament, okay, and in the New Testament. Jacob became Israel. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Simon became Peter. Saul became Paul, and the two disciples, John and James, were called the sons of thunder, okay? Now, these are name changes that God gave people, and if you look them up, they have real meaning to them. But now, I want to talk about the most important name of all, okay? We've been talking about my name, your name, our name, everybody's name, but there's one name that's really important, and thank you, Amy, for your choice of songs this morning. Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Jesus is the most exalted name. Jesus is the most wonderful name, the most powerful name. Jesus is the name above every name. That is the name. And what's in a name? Everything is in your name. And Jesus had 101 names and titles attributed to him in God's word. He is the all in all. There is a time coming when everybody's going to kneel, everybody's going to bow, and everybody's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I would suggest to you it's best to do it here and now than at the judgment. Because God's word says everybody will recognize him when the time comes. And you know another thing that I was thinking about? Every one of us has been called names other than our given names, okay? Like, I'm Nick, okay? So you call Nick, I turn around, and I'm Nick. I was called a lot of names when I was younger, okay? I'm called a few special names from Jill now, but, you know, we talked about that at the marriage conference, okay? So what I did one day is I got a list to put the line down in the middle of the paper, and I wrote, these are the good names, and these are the bad names, and then I decided I'm not even going to share them. No, why would I share them? Because how many of us would then start going, oh, I remember those days, and get all down? I want this to be uplifting, okay? And what I had to understand was the good names come from the good people, and the bad names come from the people that aren't acting very well, or from the enemy himself, okay? So you hang on to the good names that people gave you, and you let go of the other ones. Jesus himself was called the following things in the word: a glutton, a drunkard, demon-possessed, and out of his mind. And you know what Jesus did? He just moved on. He moved on doing what he knew he was supposed to do. He was following the Father's will, and he just went like that. And I love that verse, hold every thought and imagination captive. And I do this in my office a lot, and I tell people, can't you just do this? Well, what do you mean? I said, just take your hand and do this when those thoughts come in. God's word says you can. Get the lies out of there. We don't want that nonsense in our lives. He knew what he was supposed to do. He put it in the past, and he moved on. And that's what we need to do. So many people that I know, that I talk to, that I visit with, they haven't put the past in the past. And so the enemy keeps bringing it up. And you guys know what I mean. The enemy will keep saying all those things that brought you down when you were younger, and here you are, you're 40 years later, and you're still feeling that way. You've already had kids and grandkids, and you're still thinking like that. Why? Because the enemy says, this really bugged him when he was a kid. When he was a teenager, this got him so mad he ran away from home. So let's start calling him these names again. And I just now, thank God, I just go, you're out of here. Get thee behind me, Jesus Christ said to Satan. Get behind me. I don't have time for this. I don't have any desire to play in that mud field anymore. And this is what we need to do. We call on the name, Jesus. He can do all that we need to be done in our life. God will direct your path if you seek him. He'll tell you which way to go, what to do. Now, here's a few names that I found, and there's many more, by the way, that God calls his people, okay? And they're all good. Of course they'd be good. God's going to call you good names. He's not going to call you bad names. Who calls you bad names? The enemy. The enemy calls you nonsense, trashy stuff, stupid stuff. God calls you life-giving names. So here's a few that I jotted down. Acceptable. I accept you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're adopted into my family. Just like the first text we read, you are mine. Redeemed. You've been taken care of. Loved. Love like no one else can love you. Love beyond all reason. We sing that one too. Forgiven. Anybody like it when they're forgiven? Yeah. Forgiven. Precious. Oh, man. I was never called precious when I was a kid. Well, I mean, I earned that, but I'll tell you right now, there are days, well, it happened a few months ago, I think I shared with you, where a lot of health issues were just storming in, and I'm going, wow, what? And then all of a sudden, one went away, and another went away, and another, and I just could not even have words in my office that day when I got the final phone call. One doctor said, I don't want to see you for 1 year. One doctor said, I don't want to see you for 2 years. Another doctor says, I don't even want to see you anymore. Wow. He wasn't mad at me. And I just felt, maybe it's happened to you. In fact, I know some of you people it's happened to because you've told me your story. And I just sat there and I felt like, I am. I am everything that he says. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm somebody that he really cared for. He just walked me through that. I did not like that journey, but that's what he will do. He will walk you through it, and then he'll say, I got it. I got it. And all you can do is just say, Thank you, Jesus. Just that's what I had. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when Jesus was changing people's names, he was really doing some unique things, okay? Like calling us all these wonderful things. But let's look at the Gideon story. I like the Gideon story, okay? Judges 6, verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mighty warrior. He was hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat. Didn't want to be found by the Midianites, okay? Oh, mighty warrior. And you know what? He became a mighty warrior. When he talked to Moses, and Moses says, "Well, I can't talk. I'm tongue-tied. I stutter." We don't know exactly what it is, but we know he had a speech impediment. "That's okay. I'll send Aaron along with you. You'll be fine. Just do what I say." So God could be very well calling on you. Now, here's what Gideon said, though. "Oh, my Lord, my family is weak, and I'm the least in my family." And that would be like when I shared at the marriage seminar, "Jacksons don't go to college, so you can't go to college." "Oh, that doesn't make any sense." So I went to my grandma, my Bubba, who I said, "Bubba, everybody's telling me I can't go to college." And she said, "Do you want to go to college?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Go." Guess what? The chains were gone. And that's what God can tell you. When you're feeling like, "I can't do it, I can't do this, I can't do that," talk to him. And when he says, "Go, go." What does he say in his word? I'll even tell you what to say. Well, I appreciate that, because sometimes I don't know what to say. In other words, I'll tell you what to say. I'll put it in your mind, I'll put it in your heart, I'll stick it right in your mouth, and you just tell those people that. You witness, you be the light, and you witness to people, and you talk about me, because I am that I am. And we need to understand this. Gideon was used mightily of God. Moses was used mightily of God. Many, many of the patriarchs were used. But my question to you today, the question that I ask myself now and then is, could God be calling on you right now? Just asking. Are you getting woke up in the middle of the night and you don't know why? Are you driving along and you get an idea and you go, "Ooh, what's that?" I don't know. That's what he does for me. I don't hear words. I get impressions that are so strong that I know they're not me. I'm not that bright. And I go with it. I just say, "Okay, what are we doing?" And he says, "I'll keep you posted." No, I can remember when God said, you're going into the ministry. And I said, "Oh, that's a good..." No, I was really... I'm just being transparent here. I do argue with him, but I don't try. I try not to argue with him. But I said, "I'm going to go in the ministry." "Yeah, right. You know, do you know how old I am?" He goes, "Do you know how old I am?" I went, "No, I don't have any idea." No, I got to tell you what happened. So Pastor Tim, this isn't in my notes. Here we go. So Pastor Tim calls me into his office one day, and he says, "I got a word. I got a word for you." And I said, "Okay." He goes, "But I'm not going to give it to you right now. I'm going to pray about it and make sure it's right." That was a nice meeting. So I don't know. 2 weeks goes, and by the way, I have a copy of that in my file. But so he calls me back in and he says, because I had been saying, "You know, I'm not young anymore, and you know, I whined a little bit." And so Pastor said, "The Lord wants you to know you have many years ahead of you." And I thought, "I'll take that. I'll take that." "And you are to do what he tells you to do." And I thought, "Oh, here it comes. Here it comes." Okay. But you know what? I got to tell you something. All the blood, sweat, and tears, and all the finances, and all that stuff that you go through, that's nothing compared to when you get to the end. When you get to where God wanted you to go, he's calling you by name. You're calling on his name. It is just incredibly blessing. It's just wonderful. And so we should do the same thing that they did in the Bible. And when they healed people and when they prayed, they said, in the name of Jesus. What do we say here? I was listening to it this morning, okay? What do we say? We say the same thing. When you come up here for prayer, what in whose name are they praying? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. They did it in the Bible. We do it now. In the name of Jesus. He's the one that can heal. He's the one that can deliver. He's the one that can restore. But the most important thing of all is he's the one that can save. And that's what we're here for. We're here to point people to the Savior so that your name is written where it should be written, so that your knee is bowing now and doesn't have to bow later at the judgment. Acts 4, verse 12 reads as follows. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. So how are we saved? In the name of Jesus. Don't be listening to other things. There's one way. There's one way. You have seen me, you've seen the Father. The other ones, that's not true. You will not get to heaven doing other things except with Jesus. You go with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The precious gift that God sent down was Jesus. The one who died on the cross for our sins was Jesus. The one that we walk with daily and we pray to is Jesus. Oh, man, how I had to learn that years and years ago. And you know what? The enemy will still keep lying to you. Before you get out of the parking lot, that bugger is going to lie to you, because that's what he is. Call upon the name of Jesus. Believe God's truth over the enemy's lies. Because I'll tell you what, we are not victims, we're victors. We are not losers, we're winners, okay? We are not moving backwards, we're moving forward, and we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. That's it. That's our agenda. That's what Jesus says. Be the salt, be the light. Tell others about me in the name of Jesus. Now, I wrote down a few names that are given to the enemy, not to prop them up, but just to tell you, there isn't a good one in the bunch. All right? Okay, here's a couple names for the enemy. Liar, destroyer, murderer, deceiver, the evil one. Someone you want in your group? No. This is who and what he is. John 8, verse 44 reads, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." When you hear a lie, it is not coming from God. It's coming from the enemy. Because you know what? God cannot lie. His word cannot lie. So when you're hearing this nonsense, don't be, oh, and I've had people tell me, no, I shared with you before, no, I heard from God that I'm supposed to leave this one and go with this one. You did. No, you didn't. You bit on a lie. Be aware. God says what he means. God means what he says. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? And the answer is no. He does what he says he's going to do. And that's why we lean on him. That's why we trust him. That's why we share him with others. And people, you know, you're going to take a shot now and then when you represent Jesus to others. I know that. And then just move on. Just say what you mean what you say, speak the truth in love. And then if they don't take it, okay. But I did what God said. And you all know if you've ever been to Sunday school class, or probably I spoke up here, the big biker. Remember the story of the big biker? He's 6'8", 285, and he doesn't like God, and he doesn't like Jesus, and he doesn't like this. And I tried witnessing to him, praying that I wouldn't get crushed like a grape. And it went nowhere. It went nowhere. And God said, "That's okay. That's okay." And he yelled at one of the staff for saying Happy Easter. I mean, he was just really, really rugged and not very pro-Christ. So then one day he comes in. He comes in, vivid nightmare. And he doesn't come back to where I am. So I went, "Oh, that's..." He's going over to electronics. And I said, "That's good. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. That's good." No, it gets better. So the Lord says, "Go over there." "No, this is my work area. I'm, you know..." "No, you're caught up. Go out there." I said, "Go out there and do what? Go out there and do what?" So anyway, I was knees and knocking, and we were on a first name basis and kind of had a good relationship, except when you got to God in that. But so I go out to electronics, and I can't tell you his name, but I blurt out his name. "Hey, Nick, what's happening?" Ba, 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 ba. And then I had nothing. And I thought, you always say you're going to give me the words. This is kind of dull here. And then it came. And it was, so what are you doing for the holidays? I thought, that's not... And he tells me, he's like a gourmet cook. So he tells me all these things he's going to make. And I said, "Well, that ought to be a nice family gathering." And then I backed away slowly, and I went back. And I guess God was pleased, because he just said, "Okay, that's done." I guess that's called breaking the ice. But God will tell you what to do. And by all means, do it. Don't be standing afar off, okay? God's word tells us that if we resist the devil, what? Boom. That's it. End of sermon. Okay. Resist the devil, and where's he going to go? He's going to go that way, okay? The problem is you need to resist him, and you resist him with the word. You resist him with your faith. You resist him with whatever you got. Jesus in the wilderness resisted him 3 times by quoting the Bible. So do that. When the enemy starts coming at you, read him the Bible. He doesn't like that. Tell him to get lost. "Oh, no, that'll upset him." He's already upset. You don't know that? I tell every couple that's come in for the last 25 whatever years for premarital counseling, I tell them, "You have targets on your back. I'm so sorry to tell you this, because you're going to do things God's way." And you know, they got stars in their eyes, and they're holding hands, and you know, and after we're done and the wedding ceremony's done, a couple months later, I'll run into them in a parking lot, and they'll go, "Yeah, you were right." I said, I'm not that bright. I said, "I'm just telling you, this is how it is. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes that you would have life and have it to the full. What do you want? You want to do it God's way? You want to do it this way?" Because I'm telling you, life can be tough. But praise be to Jesus. That's all I can say. Praise his wonderful name, because with him, you can go through trials and struggles that you never thought you could go through. Many of you have, Jill and I have, real tough ones. But you hang on, because he keeps saying, I'm here. You know what's been happening lately is that when I go to bed, I start praying. When did that start? I don't know. But used to be years ago, I kept asking people, this goes back to Kearney Ave, I used to ask him, "I'm getting woke up in the middle of the night." And one of the older saints says, "Well, that's, God wants you to pray." I said, "Well, why does he wake me up in the middle of the night? Why can't I do it at lunch?" You know, this goes back, okay? This goes back. And he says, "He wants you to pray for somebody specifically now." Oh, okay. And so I did it. And now what it is every night when I go to bed, I put my head on the pillow. I don't pray it out loud, because you don't have to. He knows, right? I just start praying. I start praying for healings, and I start praying for restorations, and I start praying for this and that. And that, you know, intercession was not my strong suit for, that was Jill's, for a long time. But now the Lord has been saying, pray for them. In fact, I've shared with you before, when you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, you better pray for them. Because God's hearing you, you know, and I do, oh boy, because he gave me a one time. And, you know, when you don't just blurt out, oh, I'll be praying for you, and then walk away and not pray for them. That's like when you say, oh, go and be warm, but you don't give them a jacket. You know, that's in the word. You know, if you're going to tell somebody you're going to pray for them, then you pray for them in the name of Jesus, because you don't have it. Jesus has it, and he'll give it to you. I got one verse. I found dozens, maybe hundreds of verses about praising God, so I had to pick one. So I picked Psalm 9, verse 2, and it reads, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. And it was on the screen today. So many things. I don't give Amy my notes and say, here, you know, it just happens. Holy Spirit gets involved. He is the Most High. He is the name exalted above all names. As important as it is to protect the integrity of your family name, it's more important to protect the integrity of Jesus. You hear somebody blaspheming or somebody, I'm going to quote Larry, didn't ask him before the service, but he taught me something years ago when he was at work, that he would go up to a person and say, do you eat with that mouth? really? I put it right there. Because when a person is being foul and blasphemous and insulting, are you going to just, you know what used to happen? My relationship with my dad was very, very bad, okay? Ran away at 13, okay. No one could talk bad about my dad. No one except me. In other words, no one talks bad about my dad, and no one talks bad about my Jesus, okay? Say something. You don't have to be Chuck Norris or Sylvester Stallone. Just say something. We had an old German Lutheran minister in Monroe, Michigan, Herbert Fainer, and he was probably a pastor for 114 years. He is a long time. And boy, when somebody would take the Lord's name in his presence, lightning would, I mean, he's a big, boisterous, you know, but he would just say, we don't talk like that. And what do we say in our families? Come on, with your kids. We don't talk like that. We don't do that. That's not what Jacksons do, okay? When God is saying, that's not what my kids do. That's not what my kids do. So don't be shy. Speak out. I mean, no, don't be insulting and don't get yourself in a fight. But stand your ground. Oh, that's another thing. Putting on your armor. Oh, man, what a series we're having in small groups. Whoa. But my favorite, I mean, I got a lot of favorites. That's what Pastor Tim always says. Well, my favorite, no, wait a minute. That's one of my favorites, is having done all to stand, I stand. I just love that. And the Lord pounded that into my head one time. And he says, you start making your stand. Now, I don't care who throws what at you. I don't care what they call you. I don't care anything. You make a stand for me, and I'll take it from there. And so I'm going to share that with you. You make your stand. You represent Jesus. You tell people how important he is to you. You tell people what we do in this building. I was in Sunday school class, I was saying, you can invite them to Calvary. Just tell them. Come on. And then and I told you this before, all the people that I worked with, I tell them, yeah, come, but button your seatbelts. And they'll go, why? I said, we really praise and worship. And then when it's done, I go out in the parking lot and they go, oh, you're right. Because they're not, you know what I mean? So let's praise his name. Let's give him glory and honor. Let's give him his due. But some of us have dishonored our family name. And some of us had to make amends for that, okay? Let's not dishonor the name of Jesus. Let's not go in if they're telling those kind of jokes or they're doing this or they're doing that. Just pull away. In fact, sometimes after a while, they'll caution you and tell you, you don't want to come in here. Oh, okay. They're protecting me, you know. And then like somebody will get, you don't want to say that when Nick's right over there. You don't want to. Really, this happens. And I didn't say anything. I just did what I'm supposed to do, which is represent yourself the best way that you can. We need to take care of things in the past, and we need to move on. In Philippians 3:13-14, Paul has this to say, which I really like. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I give that to each and every one of you. Move on. Get it behind you. Put it down. Step on it. I would ask the worship team to start coming forward as I close here. Now, there is a very, very special place where your name should be. That special name that you have, okay? That name that God knows really well. And it's nice to have your name on a diploma or a certificate. It's nice to have your name in the paper for something exciting and good. That's all fine. But there is a far more important place where our names need to be written down. And Luke 10, verse 20 says, "However, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is what Jesus said to his followers. This is what he's saying to us. You make sure your names are written down in heaven. And we do that by accepting him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.